Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 298. I'm Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Jeff's a bonehead.
Yeah. And Fozzie.
He's a weed head, actually.
And Jeff.
I'm a junk head. I'll smoke whatever I find on the street.
And Pete.
What's going on?
Not sure.
Anything off the street. So
I have a
look, it's a dead penny. I'm right.
What, a dead penny?
A dead penny.
What is a dead penny?
Here's some roadkill.
Exactly.
Pete and Jeff were talking Dark Souls, but they'll be able to talk more Dark Souls next week. So,
because that's when the third game will be out by then, right?
Yeah, but you're not getting it right away, right?
No, I want to finish two beforehand.
But you're not gonna wait.
You want to talk about it with Pete, don't you?
No, I mean, you can talk about it. I can avoid spoilers or anything, so I don't give a shit. Go ahead and talk.
No. I'm just wondering, are you gonna like wait till it's like on sale later in the year? Or
no,
you
I'll just
gonna,
wait yeah. until however long it takes me to beat the second game.
Good call. Way to go.
All right. Well, new games did come out this past week.
I mean, that's what they told me, but I don't believe them.
Well, Quantum Break is out. That game.
Yes.
Okay, so who?
That game I'm really excited about.
Who's played it?
I have played Quantum Break.
Are you the only one?
I believe
of
so.
Of the five of us? There are five of us?
I will play it by the end of the year.
Chris is going to talk me into buying it.
I'm really curious what Chris thinks because it's one of those weirdly divisive games.
It is.
That I'm seeing opinions on both far ends of the spectrum.
Okay, so what do you guys want to know about Quantum Break? It's a video game.
Okay, how... So, I guess the thing that I've been hearing, and this is mostly from the Giant Bomb guys, in which case Jeff
did not like
the game.
Right.
How much of their opinion do you share? And that, I mean, is like the TV stuff garbage and really ancillary, and is just not a very good shooter?
Alright, so I played through the first act of the game, which is three or four levels of gameplay. There's a major choice that you make as the antagonist. And then there is a television episode.
Yeah, television episode.
I've seen a good portion of the game. There's four of these television episodes.
Well, and they all follow that format, right?
Yeah, there's like four acts. They each have like, you know, gameplay, choice, television episode. I think there might be a fifth act that's all gameplay related with the main character. The gameplay is very Remedy-ish. Do you guys like Max Payne?
Yes, like, I enjoy Max Payne.
Okay.
I like Alan Wake.
I like Max Payne, but didn't like Alan Wake.
Okay.
Yes, that's
Same boat.
Not like Alan Wake.
Okay.
Same
so
what?
So think of like you know that type of shooter. You know, it's you shoot things in both those games. But you have magic powers that can stop time or make you dash across the, you know, out of the way very quickly. But there's like different powers you have assigned to different buttons. The one I've been using the most early on is like this kind of time bubble that I push out and it freezes anything in the time bubble. So you can like freeze your enemies in it, shoot bullets at it, and then when the time bubble expires, like all the bullets will go directly into your enemy, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So all the combat kind of flows like that. It has this weird cover mechanic, so it is a cover shooter, but
it's like automatic, right?
Yeah, like anytime you're near like a box or a wall, like Jack Joyce, the main character, will just like pin himself up against it.
Jack Joyce, god damn it. They really went out of their way to think of a name that was dumber than Max Payne.
JJ!
Yeah, so it's like that's the type of gameplay. You know, you have your standard weapons, handguns, which I believe your handgun has unlimited bullets. Doesn't make any sense, but
time juice,
right? time bullets, you know, there's assault rifles, SMGs, shotguns, you know, your standard third person shooter stuff. The shooting's okay. It's like I wasn't like this is great. Like it's not Gears of War. It's not even like Uncharted, which I think is like a lower tier third person shooter in terms of like the shooting.
See, so, people always say that, but like I don't mind the shooting in Uncharted or Tomb Raider, so like I don't know, and like I don't mind the mechanics.
I think Tomb Raider has better shooting than Uncharted, though.
I think the point is that it's even still, it's
it's not quite to that level even. So yeah. It's a little loose, maybe a little too loose. I found myself like where in most games I would be like, you know, kind of like snap myself to the enemy. I found myself shooting over their shoulders a lot because, like, I'm over-aiming.
Mm.
So that was frustrating because it ends up you dying sometimes because you're not invincible. You can take a – for being just a dude, you take a decent amount of bullets. And there's, you know, there's the normal screen starts to go red, can cover. It'll cool down and you'll be okay again. But – using the time powers is cool. Like that's where the combat's really fun. The world seems really big. There's lots to explore in it. There are these sections where, and I've only run into one, but I've heard there's more than that. It's like I needed to get into this library, but I couldn't go right through the front because there was all these armed guards there. So I needed to climb my way up this scaffolding to get into the top floor. And the one piece of scaffolding was on this, like, lift. Like, to get there, it was this lift that goes up. But if you stepped on the lift, the hydraulics dropped down. So you actually had to use your time powers to freeze the lift, jump on it, so that it became, like, a stable platform, and then jump over.
So it's like a weird puzzle?
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of cool. Like, I actually really enjoyed that. Like, having something that's not just, like, after shooting a bunch of dudes for a while, being able to have this like nice breather section where I could, you know, figure out like it's a simple puzzle, but it was something different, something fun. And then there is the antagonist, Paul Serene, played by Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Your help.
At the end of each act, you switch perspectives. You go from being Jack Joyce, the primary protagonist, the hero of the story, I guess, to this villain who is Jack Joyce's former best friend. There's some cool timey, you know, bullshit that goes on that sets the whole thing up as to why they're now enemies, but which I actually thought was pretty cool. And it also explains why, you know, Paul Serene is not the same age as Jack Joyce in the game. But you will go through and there will be this choice that you can make, and Paul Serene can kind of like see into the future and see what the implications of his choices will be.
So, that's convenient.
Well, I mean, I guess it's more for your effect. I don't actually know if he knows. It's just kind of like how he's thinking it out. So it's like you're actually seeing his thought process come to life when you're doing this choice. So you can see, you know, the first choice is like, hey, do I get rid of all the witnesses that are still alive from this attack, or do I let them live, but we kind of make a statement that points everything towards Jack Joyce as the, like, we'll make him out to be the person that was responsible for this. We'll make him into a terrorist. So it creates stuff in the world, pros and cons on both sides, which is just interesting. I'm not so sure how it plays out, but it does affect the television show.
Ooh. The television show.
Television show.
There is a full-on, I watched, I think it was like 25 minutes long, television show. Quantum Break television show. That doesn't feature the main actors of the game all that much. They're in it, but they are not the primary.
Which is the most bizarre thing that I heard about
that. It's these, like, ancillary protagonists that work for Paul Serene's company, at least did. They might not do it anymore, because at the end of the first episode, things happen. I don't know, Giant Bomb Guy is, like, well, specifically Gerstmann was saying, like, he thinks it's really shitty. It's okay. Like, it's sci-fi quality television. Like, if you've ever watched, like, Helix or Defiance or...
God, those are all awful.
See, now you're losing me.
But they're like, they're not awful shows, though. Like, I mean, they're okay.
Like, I mean, if you had brought up, like, Battlestar or Warehouse 13 or Eureka even, like, maybe, but Defiance, Jesus.
I mean, Defiance lasted three seasons, and I don't know. I found the first season fun, so, you know, weird Western shit. But anyway, it's that quality of television show. Like, I think even Battlestar, which was generally pretty good.
Does it add to your interest of the main story or supplement it? Or, like, I don't...
It does supplement it in a way. Like, it picks up at... So, at the end of the first act, something happens. It picks up with what these characters are doing.
Because of that? Or...
Yes, because of that. Yes. There's something that happens where Jack Joyce is kind of captured, and then things happen with these other two protagonists that are kind of like these secondary, like they take place, they will show up in the game. Actually, you meet both of them in the game before this, but it's kind of like revolves around them. It's weird. It's weird, but I mean, I watched the entire thing. I wasn't like, this is boring and I want to skip it.
Can you skip it?
I was about to ask.
I mean, you have full-on Netflix controls, so you could just skip to the end. And
I'm really curious, like, if you did skip to the end, like, if you would be left wondering what was going on in the next episode or something like that.
I mean...
General opinions have been that it's just meaningless overall.
I don't know if it adds context to the world, but you're probably right in the fact that, like, in terms of Jack Joyce's story, it's very minimal, like...
And is the world interesting enough to even want additional context to whatever is going on?
I enjoy what I've seen so far. Like, I like it. I like time travel bullshit stories, though, so...
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on what your level of interest in goofy time travel stories is.
I'm getting it no matter what, just not at $60. I'm going to wait.
I'm probably never going to play it.
And you can get it on Amazon right now for... $47?
I know, but I got, like, big-ass games coming out, so...
Real games.
Yeah.
This is a real game. What are you talking about?
Mm. Yeah, Hefe, you actually, because of your old man ways, benefit from that Amazon shenanigans.
Fuck yeah.
Woo.
It's... I've liked what I played. I played probably for about 2 hours. What I played was cool. I'm gonna play more.
You're not human.
I'm not human.
No, not you.
It's weird.
Excuse, like, Jeff. He's a bonehead.
For a second, I was like, wait, didn't Jeff say he was into the game?
It's a Remedy game, though. I mean, that right there, I think, kind of...
I'm bored for Remedy.
I think that after, like, Alan Wake, like, after they stopped making Max Payne games, actually, even just... Let me back up. The first Max Payne game was probably, like, the only interesting one they've made. Kind of...
Alan Wake ruled, man. Come on.
Yeah, I played through most of Alan Wake, and I came out of that wishing I hadn't.
Yeah, I couldn't make it through it. I couldn't do it.
I don't know. Like, if you're a Stephen King fan, I think it's fucking awesome.
I think that's where... I mean, I'm with Jeff on this. Like, as a Stephen King fan, that game was great.
Like, I think
the story was okay. I just didn't like how it played. I thought it played like garbage.
I think it plays like Remedy games play, like, which is maybe not the tightest shit ever. Like, Max Payne wasn't really a tight shooter, but
no, but because you could slow down time, I think it, like, all the time. I think it made up for that, like, impreciseness of the controls.
Yeah, I mean,
it's also super old. It was probably more impressive at the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure going back and playing Max Payne now, you'd be like, oh, God, what the fuck?
Actually, I played it recently. Like,
the original Max Payne?
Yeah, like 2 years ago recently.
I tried to play it on PC. It did not go well for me.
It was fun. I mean, it was fun in, like, a really dumb way, but
yeah,
I also...
Like, I enjoyed playing the first level, and I was like, I don't want to play any more of this. But I don't know. Like, if you're not, like, into Remedy's, like, weird shit, like... because
I think I might have been had they, like, it been a little bit more cohesive of Remedy's shit. Like, the whole, like, the idea that the TV show stuff has almost nothing to do with the main characters in the game and is all, like, ancillary world building feels like a really weird choice for how to set up your game and maybe and interest people in the events of what's going on.
I mean, it depends on where, like, I'm, as I've said, I've only watched the one episode and there's four of these, so it depends on where they go with it. And whether or not by the end of it you care about any of those ancillary characters, like, if you don't care about them at all, then I guess it's not really going to matter, but right now I don't care, because...
But the fact that they're ancillary kind of means that I'll never have to.
I mean, that's a bad thing, though.
Right, like,
just... Better Call Saul.
If I don't have to, why am I wasting 25 minutes of my game time every... 2-3 hours. I don't know how long each game section is.
Because you enjoy the world it's in, like...
I dig the idea of it, personally. Like, I think it's a cool idea.
Like, there's... They're not just telling one... You're not just getting Jack Joyce's story. You're getting Jack Joyce's story and Paul Sarin's story and the story of these other two kind of other ancillary characters you don't ever play as. You're getting... Everything is one big unit. At least that's how I've kind of felt about it. Like, that first act all felt very cohesive. It just, you're not necessarily following Jack Joyce around in the TV show, but you're not doing that as when you're playing as Paul Sarin either. So, like, it's all, each three parts are different, but they add together to be something together that builds. The way I would view it is each act is the gameplay, and then, like, as you play as Jack Joyce, and then the gameplay is Paul Sarin, and then, which is the choice portion, which kind of influences what happens in the television show, and all of that is together.
I feel so... just hearing you list it out like that, I'm just sort of like, oh my god, this sounds so...
Weird.
Haphazardly put together, like almost like the whole thing's being held together with duct tape.
Nah, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I think it's a very, like, flashy production here. Like, I don't think it doesn't feel haphazard at all. It's different. Like, it's not something we've ever gotten before. It's definitely, they're definitely trying something here that's...
I think that's the big selling point for me.
Yeah, it's not normal. Like, it's not your traditional... very soon we're going to get Uncharted 4, which is going to be, here's Nathan Drake's story, and we're going to go from Act 1 to Act 27, or whatever it is, and there it is, there's your story. And this is something completely different. I'm not saying it's better or worse, it's just different. Like, and I guess, like, we won't really know until we reach the end, but what I've played of it so far is pretty cool, and I like all three parts that I played, like, that I experienced, because you don't play all three parts, you experience one of them. But it's different. But yeah, like, if you're not playing anything, Tony, maybe it's worth a go. But, like, Jeff has, like, two games coming out next week,
right?
So yeah, it makes sense for him to wait.
And you should just get Dark Souls, Tony. Like,
I would recommend that.
Yeah.
I recommend getting Quantum Break, Tony.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it, but eventually.
I'm going to pass.
Well, you can't get it, can you?
Yeah, I mean, it's on PC, so I can.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, I haven't tried the PC version, because I bought it digitally on Xbox One, so I have the PC version somewhere, I guess. I don't know where.
You probably signed into your Microsoft account.
Yeah, it's probably there, yeah. But I haven't. I heard that maybe the PC version's a little bit buggy.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
they're pirates. They're pirates.
I'm just gonna play it on my Xbox. It looks.
Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, pirates.
Yeah,
if you pirate,
the eye patch thing again.
They'll give you an eye patch. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like an
same
actual
thing they did with Alan Wake.
Huh. I will say this: the game is very pretty. Looks really good. The actors are pretty cool, like, that they, you know, they get they did some really cool facial stuff with them, that they actually look like the actors that are are playing them. So, and I can't think of the guy who is Lance something.
Lance Riddick.
Yes, yeah, he's really cool in this. He kind of plays like the CEO of this the bad corporation. I like him in just about everything he's in, so he's pretty cool. But that's Quantum Break.
There all right, go. I'm buying it right now.
All
right,
you did it. Don't do it. It'll be fucking $20 by summer.
Yeah, but I want to play it now.
Oh,
but
I'm going to be playing strategy games all summer long, Jeff.
You have no idea. You should be playing Dark Souls with us all summer long.
Who's all?
Who's all?
Everybody.
What are you talking about, Fozzie?
Talking about everyone playing Dark Souls.
Everybody's playing Dark Souls.
Fozzie's not playing Dark Souls. I'm not playing Dark Souls.
I'm going to be
president.
Total War Warhammer.
You guys should be playing Dark Souls, though. Because
why?
Game.
I don't like Dark Souls.
That's you're crazy. You got to give it another chance.
Proceed to checkout, Jeff. It's happening.
Peter, tell them.
The game just sounds like it should be in a bargain bin of $20 games.
Ooh. Dark Souls, you're right.
Nah.
We're talking Ooh. About sure it is now.
The original, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, my finger is above the PlayStation.
Just do the right thing, Tony. I'm telling you.
I'm doing the right thing.
You like RPGs, right? You're going to like it. Just do it.
I have not liked any of the Souls games that I've played.
You're crazy.
Jeff, when did they get good? Because I put 40 hours in the Dark Souls 1. I didn't like it.
I don't know. Like,
wait, how do you put 40 hours into a game that you don't like? That just sounds like you
I didn't have anything else
Jeff
to play.
Jeff harps on it all the time and tells you how great it is. Yes. You're like, okay, fine. I'll give it a little more time. But I'm not enjoying this, Jeff. Give it a little more time. It'll be good. It's so good.
Fine. The combat is extremely well done. Like, it is some of the best combat in any sort of game ever. Like... And just the sense of exploration in the world and the bosses.
All right, I'm going to be exploring the world of Quantum Break. Here we go.
That's not
order is placed, Jeff.
All right. Fozzie, you've been watching people play VR.
Yeah. Like
what did you want to tell us about people playing VR?
So, VR is a thing now.
I guess.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I mean, from what I've heard, people still haven't
tried it.
Gotten their unit.
No, well, I've tried it like PAX and stuff. I don't have it, if that's what you're asking. So, I've been watching people be playing the VRs and everything, and I've learned some things. Like, for example, the Rift and the Vive are a little different. And
Vive? I think it's the Vive.
But whatever the fuck you want to call it. And so,
yeah,
like,
VR.
Yeah, so apparently the HTC one, no, I don't, HTC one broke on me, so I'm kind of biased against HTC, but that's the one that I guess is supported by Steam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
It's the Valve.
Yeah. And it looked really cool because, you know, they're going to have it so that you move around more.
It's the only room, like, it's like room scale, right? Like, you
right.
walk around your own room.
Right, exactly.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting. You know, because the nice thing is that you actually have something you can hold on to. I know the Oculus is eventually going to make that too. But I think the fact that it's going to be supported by Steam is making me move towards it more.
Well, Valve also has a history of not supporting things too, though.
How so?
Like, big picture mode is kind of still a shitty mess. The Steam Box initiative is basically dead.
Half-Life 3.
All of their franchises are dead.
The Steam controller is kind of, like, been swept under the rug.
Did they actually just release stuff to that so you could mod it yourself now?
Yeah, maybe.
They have workshop for some things.
Sure. I'm not saying that, like, it's not, like, that it won't be supported, but just, like, Valve has a history of, like, creating projects and then just being like, what's out there? it as you will.
Sure. Well, I wonder if because they partnered with somebody that there's you know incentive necessarily for them to do it in terms of like their
there's incentive for HTC to do it for sure. Like Valve doesn't have to do a shit. So
well, I think Valve's strategy in a lot of areas is here are the tools, do the work yourself.
Yeah.
Sure. I think you know, there's really like three big ones, right? There's the HTC, the Rift, and then Morpheus. And for me, like, this is definitely going to be one of those where I buy one, and that's kind of it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of unfortunate. I really want to get into VR. I see a lot more in it than just video games. Like, I see the applications of being able to visit places or, you know, help out as far as, like, with trade tool, like, trade skills, things like that. So, I mean, VR could be a big thing, but, you know, so I don't know if I want to limit myself to just to Morpheus. I feel like you're going to have the limitations of a console on that. I'm not sure as far as what else you could do with it, but, and then, again, with the Rift, I might.
Well, remember, I mean, there's the rumors going around now that Sony is looking to maybe make it compatible with PC as well.
Okay.
So there's a chance that PSVR moves away from just being PlayStation 4
assistant. Again, yeah.
It's kind still of also be the lower end, though, for. They are the lowest end hardware regardless.
It is. Yeah. It is. But again, like. Okay, here's the thing, is that this is regardless going to be an expensive thing, you know?
Right.
I would be okay with spending a couple hundred dollars more, and if I got something on the PC, obviously I would put, like, probably, like, $1,000 more, because for being realistic, I have to buy new
graphics
updates and everything, so, I mean, it's going to be costly.
Gotta make sure you have 72 USB ports and...
Yeah, I mean, even, like... You know, even Giant Bomb, when they were playing, like, they weren't playing on their highest settings with the PC thing that was provided. So, you know, it's just something, like, I'm probably going to have to hold off till 2017 to get, because, again...
What are you leaning on? Like, if you were going to buy one...
Well, like, at first it was kind of Rift. Like, that's kind of been, you know, that's the one I know the most about, and... It was bought by Facebook, so, I mean, we'll have support there, hopefully.
One of the concerns I have about the Vive is, you know, being associated with Steam, though, yeah. Is that, like, I think we can all agree on anybody that, except Jeff, because he doesn't play PC games, but Steam is a fucking nightmare for curation right now, so there could be,
well, yeah.
Like, just...
Right.
Garbage but, jumped on there, and like it's not gonna sure. have the curation that maybe, you know, Sony or Oculus is gonna have with their storefronts and making sure right. the stuff works properly.
But
right, yeah.
Fozzie brought up a great point though, because with the PC, either of the PC options, you're gonna have like way more quirky experiences, I think, than you'll get from the console. Like, yeah, a lot of it'll be garbage, but like they'll be able to do like porn and shit.
Well, I mean, well, as I said, like there's very strong rumors that Sony is looking to have PC support as well.
Yeah, right.
So, and it would be smart.
Yeah, if that's the case, you can't just limit it to that box. Cause...
Right. And the Morpheus, you know, could be great. I just feel that, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, they're third party. Like the Move and everything, and it's not really panned out.
Sony also has a history of releasing shit for their consoles, and
so that's a scary thing. The Rift is kind of it's always been there, you know, it's a known one, but that's kind of why I want to wait, like at least till the Touch comes out. Not to mention, like again, if I go into this, I want to go into it and give it like a legitimate shot, so I want to spend. A good portion of, you know, I'd probably be spending close to $1,500. So it's not just like, oh, okay, well, yeah. I'll just buy this, and if it doesn't work out, like, and that's the thing that scares me is that when I've been watching Giant Bomb is that everything they play, like, they're always like, this is awesome. But it's like 15-minute burst. Yep,
that,
you know?
They were saying that this week on their show is that everything is basically just a demo at this point. Like,
right.
There's very few experiences that are going to stretch you and be intriguing much more than like 15-20
sure.
minutes at a shot.
And I'm okay with having a Wii U and playing that once a month.
That's an expensive proposition, though.
But yeah, you want to spend $1,500. Yeah,
it needs to be something more, and it will. Like I haven't tried it yet. Like Fozzie, you said you have tried it at like shows. And
I
stuff.
Have, and it's unlike anything you'll ever play in your life.
Is it a convincing effect? Like it's like when you're in that.
Absolutely,
headset, it feels like, really?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like when I was because the biggest thing is that when you're inside the VR. You don't see the outside in any sort of way. You are in that world. So, you know.
But it doesn't feel like you're staring at a screen or something. Like there's...
No. It's like you're there, you know?
I can't wait.
So, like, I want to play Adrift so bad because I want to be in space. I want to look around and just fucking just absorb everything around me. And that sounds so cool, but that's the scary thing is that. Like, what happens after a week, you know? Is it going to start collecting dust? It's a big if. So, you know, the nice thing is that if you upgrade your computer, you don't play it, well, at least you have an upgrade computer to play 2D games. But, you know, it's just that it was, like, all for naught. And then, again, the HTC is, what, like $700?
Yeah, because that comes with the room scale thing.
$800, I think.
Isn't yeah, it? So it's up there.
Yeah, what the Rift is $599?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been waiting for this since God, like 2014. It feels like, and or even maybe earlier, 2013. And God, I got a taste of it, and all I want is more. Just being able to kind of, it just does a great way of helping you escape, you know, and just.
Jeff's been waiting since 1992.
Yeah, and like he's more stoked than ever about it. Yeah,
Hefe, you will be like, you're going to be like, your mind is going to be fucking blown. Like this is what we dreamed of when we were kids. Like,
but you know what? Like I would be fine with like a bunch of like 15-minute experience type games for that as well. But they need to be priced accordingly, like $20 or less.
They are. I mean, it seems like there's some. And there's stuff that you can play probably a couple hours. And, like, I was watching them play the Job Simulator, which looked amazing. And also another thing that I really liked is, and Drew brought it up, where the way that when he was in that Job Simulator and he was doing something where he had to, like, essentially be a cook, so he would pick up stuff and everything, it was super seamless. Like, everything that he picked up, it was super responsive. Whatever he was doing, like, it was first try. And I think with, like, the Wii, for example, like, you don't kind of get that disconnect because...
Clumsy. Well, yeah, Jimmy, you're clumsy dealing with the infrared, and it might not be picking
but,
it up.
Man, like, yeah, but you watch Jeff, like, do this, and this is launch day titles, and then he's just, like, he's just throwing things around. And so, and again, I'm hoping that really it comes down to software because the hardware is there, right? I mean, hardware, it feels comfortable. Graphics look great. The worlds look incredible. So, I mean, that's there. But it needs to have the software. And who's going to provide that software? Is it going to be the Rift? And that's the thing that even scares me. Is like, do I wait till 2018 until you start to have, like, maybe AAA titles or games that... Because what happens if I miss out on an exclusive and it's like... Super Mario Brothers of that era, like, am I missing out on like, you know, the best new game to this new technology? And then you're just kicking yourself.
Well, I mean, the good thing about that is you can always go back and play it later.
You could. And if you had a high-powered PC, and then let's just say the HTC is dropped down to, like, 350, I don't know, then maybe you could think about getting it. It's just...
Wow.
I just don't want to have, like, three different VR headsets dangling in my place, you know what I mean?
Oh, so I'm looking at some of like so Fantastic Contraption, which is a game I heard quite a bit about, and Job Simulator, both games that are on the Vive. Both of those are $40.
Yes. Now Job Simulator does come with
the Vive.
With the Vive. So that's good. And it's like classic like Steam humor. And like even like games where there's a slingshot game where you just slingshot like the portal those like mechanical balls or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just blast them away. Yes. So that looks incredible. And I don't know. It's just everything looks so cool. Like there's that hacking game where like you just look around for the hacking modules and I can't wait to feel like that vastness like, in a game. It's just
I want it.
Yeah. It's totally like that thing where like I'm so jealous of anyone that has it. I'm trying to figure out all my friends in Seattle if any of them will get it, but right now it doesn't look like it. And so yeah, it's probably going to be another year before I play. But the nice thing is that now that it's become more mainstream, like before when you go to PAX, like it takes hours to play these specific games. So I'm hoping that VR, you know, it's as easy as waiting for a 2D game, you know. So we'll see.
Right. So Fozzie will give us his update on VR in a year.
Perfect.
October, baby, for me. I'm in.
Jeff will tell us about PSVR.
I pre-ordered it. They had the Amazon pre-orders they had a second wave. Dude, so
the mini game collection that comes with it looks really fun. I think. It's like the
mini games might,
ice game.
It might be like fun. Wii Sports of
yeah.
And you know what? The Wii Sports was able to power the Wii to like 100 million fucking units. So.
Right. I mean, the difference.
The Wii was also like, what, 300 at launch?
Well, and it was also something that it was very easy to get multiple people to do at once. Like you could show it to a bunch of old people in a room and be like, here's, you could play bowling. And
but
they understand it because it's pretty easy. Like this, you have to put this thing on your head. Like, I still think that's going to be a major hold up.
There's going to be some hurdles.
I think there's going to be people that gather around for that shit. Like, and take turns.
Right. No, like, but honestly, I really think, like,
I guarantee if I get it, friends are going to come over who would never come over to my apartment. They're like, can I try that out? I guarantee you.
Friends in quotation marks.
Yes. I think the nice thing, too, with the Vive is that I don't know how many buttons there are, but it feels a little bit like you don't really need to use a controller. So maybe that might be a little bit easier for older generations. I don't know.
But what I'm saying is, like, the Wii itself was a community thing. Like, you could put two people side by side and play. Like, this is a very solitary experience.
Like, that's true, but at the same time,
you can watch what they're seeing, though.
Right, like, exactly. Kind of and I think, like, the sheer excitement that people are going to get as soon as they put it on is going to just turn make our people excited.
If it doesn't make them vomit first.
Right, exactly. And it's not like this is going to be a party simulator. This is like a party like station type thing, but it's going to be something where like you have a bunch of friends and everyone takes their turn with it, you know?
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you guys are doing something else while you wait.
I will tell you that if you guys invite me over to your house, I will not use your thing because I'm not sticking some dirty shit on my head.
But you're one of them.
Not that I'm saying that you guys are dirty, but I'm not.
Pink guy from Jeff.
Oh, I am.
Jeff I.
Jeff I.
God damn it.
You just look like you're stoned all the time.
So we'll see. Jeff will be probably the first one that has one.
I'm all aboard.
Yeah, there's nothing there that strokes my interest at the moment. So.
Yeah.
There's no software, but to be the whole concept.
Right. It's the new hardware, and
yeah.
I guess I also don't know if it'll make me vomit on contact. So
yeah, I don't have problems with like motion sickness.
Okay, I can understand if someone's like motion sickness is pretty easy. Like,
because Pete, didn't you were like get a little nauseous when you're playing The Witness when it first came out, right?
Yeah, God.
Yeah, and so that's like a that's like on a regular monitor.
Sure, I mean it's all about field of view at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So it's we'll see. I'm sure Jeff will be very excited for it for about a month.
Oh, forever.
No, it's in a whole month, you'll burn through everything.
Yeah, when does it come out, Jeff?
The PSVR?
Yeah.
October.
I bet by December you aren't playing it anymore.
Well, it depends how they support it or whatever. You know, we'll see.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what
I think you're right.
Right now, I don't think there's anything that, like, you're going to be really excited for it at first and be like, this is awesome. And then you're like, I've played everything. And
yeah. Well, yeah. And
like, it's going to take a little while for some support to happen and for maybe some more bigger things that you want to be supported.
There's going to be big traditional games, too, you know, like, that I'm just going to be playing that are not VR at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see that happening, but, like, I'm just so excited to try it out.
I'm glad you are a guinea pig. Somebody has to do it.
Yeah, right?
Fuck yeah.
So, really quickly, Halo 5 released their latest update, Ghost of Meridian, new map, an arena, new map in Warzone. The Warzone map is freaking crazy because it's super tiny. So the initial bases that you start out at are right on top of each other. That match, where most Warzone matches take about 20 minutes, this takes a little bit less. I think the two matches I played on it were about 10 to 12 minutes long, which is cool because Warzone is really long, and if you want to just jump in and play something. But the new arena map, I think it's called Tyrant, is really cool. It's three levels. It's really similar to the Warzone map. It's really tiny. Like, really, really tiny. I played a six-person free-for-all match on it, and you're never not running into people on it. So, really well done. Reminded me a little bit of Haven from Halo 4, which is a map I really like. So, if you have Halo, update your shit. It's out there.
Boom.
Halo.
I played some Griffball.
Did you?
Griffball.
Yeah.
You didn't play with us, though.
Yeah, we played some Griffball, too.
Well, invite me before Tuesday, and I'll play.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not going to be around, so.
What happened? So, don't invite you.
If you see me, invite me.
Team Damn You Hefe returns.
Right.
Damn You Hefe.
I'll be around all afternoon tomorrow.
Okay.
Which you guys will be at work, probably. So.
That's right. Because we work during the day.
Hey.
We do. All right. Let's do some news here. Last week we talked about Allison Rapp getting fired from Nintendo from assholes kind of harassing her and Nintendo backing out. This week, I think it was this week, Beamdog, people behind Baldur's Gate.
I didn't remember any of our news items having to do with this, and I know where you're going now.
Beamdog, which is the developer behind the Baldur's Gate kind of, is it like a...
It's an enhanced edition.
Yeah, remaster or something. They released a expansion pack for Baldur's Gate, like a brand new expansion for this game that is 20 years old.
Is it 20 years old now?
It's old, right?
God, like, damn, I'm old.
It's pretty old. Yeah.
I think my teeth fell out just listening to that.
The writer of that, Amber Scott, is kind of being attacked for putting some stuff into the game. I guess there's a trans character, and which to even figure out that the character is trans, you'd have to go through like four or five different dialogue trees to get to that piece. So I think like the outrage is from people that aren't even playing the game. They just heard, oh, this is in there. Let's go. Let's try.
We have our next victim. We know who it is. Let's go get her. I actually saw posts
where they actually said that. Yeah, they actually said that. Like, here it is. Here's the quote. We took down Allison Rapp. Amber Scott is next. Like, it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's more of this bullshit going on.
It was interesting. Did you see the statement by the...
From Beamdog?
Well, not Beamdog, but the creator of Forgotten Realms.
Oh, Ed Greenwood, yeah. I have a quote here, actually. D&D has half orcs and half dragons and half elves and has magic items that specifically change gender right there in the rules. Surely if you can handle the basic notion of cross-species sex, having a full variety of gender roles should be something that doesn't blow your mind. If it's not for you, that's fine. I hate wearing certain shades of yellow, but I don't scream and yell at someone. I see wearing these shades of yellow and call them names and threaten things. My right to dislike yellow applies to this, doesn't extend to others.
Excuse me.
Which is a really nice quote.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was happy that he said something. I didn't read Beamdog's statement, though.
It basically came out in support of their employees being like, we're not going to tolerate this shit. Like, hey, sorry that you feel that way, but you're not changing anything. Congratulations.
Right. Nintendo, take note.
Defend your fucking employees.
Yeah.
Well, now they, I guess Beamdog did make a change. There was a quote in, I guess there was a line of dialogue in the game that kind of made fun of the Gamersgate slogan of it's about ethics in game journalism.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was like it's about ethics in adventuring or something like that.
Right.
And they ended up taking that out because they said it just didn't fit. Probably correct. Like, but yeah, none. They're not changing any of the other stuff. They're not taking the characters.
I wouldn't have taken that out, honestly.
I think they felt that. I mean,
can't
not
take jokes,
sessions.
Really?
I think they were just like, it just people. Doesn't fit. Like, it just.
Like, it sticks out as a Thor's thumb, yeah. Like, culturally, like, for that type of game. Like.
Yeah, like it's a cute little thing we added in, but it doesn't actually fit with what the story is, and doesn't fit with the dialogue that the rest of the characters have, or even maybe that character has, so. Did think it was funny, though, that I think Beamdog specifically called out that it's kind of funny that, you know, these people that are saying that, you know, these people they're attacking should have a thicker skin are,
yeah, right,
get all thrown at in a tizzy over, like, you know.
They're the biggest babies of any. Yeah. They sit there and whine about stupid shit on the internet all, like, oh, fuck these people. All right. I'll shut up there. But.
Yep, it's funny because I mean we focus a lot on games, but it's not just in games. Like,
oh no, I mean, what was it today?
I woke up to like this the depressing bullshit over the Star Wars trailer, yeah. and like can't we just fucking enjoy shit? Like, oh, we're gonna rip apart the new Star Wars trailer because there's a female, like Felicity Jones is the lead of this movie. And
were there really people like upset about it?
Oh, 100%.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All over it.
Ripping apart the fact that like, what's it? Forrest Whitaker's in the movie. Like,
I love him. It's fucking Kavanaugh from The Shield, bro.
Oh man, that eye though.
he's a menace on screen. That's like, and he is an asset to your film. If he's in your film, like what?
That Forrest Whitaker eye.
He does have that kind of crazy eye.
I love it. I need that eye in it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, at some point, like, I mean, Tony told me don't read the comments. Like,
don't read, I don't know. I feel like never. People always blow these things up. You know, like, I didn't see one person on my Twitter feed, like, they didn't want, or they didn't like the fact that everyone just said it was awesome. So it's, yeah. Like, who are you really pandering to here with your comments? Like,
right.
Well, but the thing is, you have self-selected your Twitter feed. Like, you don't have, like, if somebody is awful, they're just not in your feed. Like, you're
right.
Not
but and I what I'm just trying to say is, like, the people that are also saying these tweets, they probably follow the same type of people that I do. So it's
right.
Like,
right.
I just think you're giving a bigger exposure to the 0.001% out there instead of just celebrating the 99.9% that like this.
It's yes, but it's like I went on to the, like, where I watched the Star Wars trailer was on the like Star Wars posted it on Facebook, and yeah. Like this is at the main hub for Star Wars, And, like, that's where I was reading a lot of these comments at. It's like, this is where Star Wars should be celebrated at its max. Like,
you are going against the majority, and the majority will always have people that make up a very small portion of it that are going to not like it because it's different, you know? So, I mean, if you get upset every time this happens, you're going to be upset a lot. You know, I'm just
depressing because it's not just that. I actually ran into it with people I know, like in real life today, like loading shit onto the trailer for my kids' competition this weekend, and one of the dads was like, "Hey, you see that Star Wars trailer?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Ah, it looks pretty cool." It's like, "But what's with all like the fucking women heroes now?" Like.
Yeah.
Really? Like,
no, my brother said the same thing, and I was like, oh, no.
It's like, dude, who the fuck cares? Is it a good story or not?
Like, yeah, there were none before. Can we have a few?
Like, right.
Yeah, really. Like, let's
coming from a guy who has like a daughter that is friends with my daughter, like, don't you think it would be cool to have something for your daughter to look up to? Like,
and they literally don't think about this thing.
Yeah,
like, they never put themselves in other people's shoes.
They're so close-minded and thinking that this is what it was all the time. Why is it different now? It's like
We'll always have close-minded.
Does it matter?
To me, I'm just like, this is great because this is arguably the most well-known franchise in the history of cinema. And you have this, and you're able to not only succeed but excel. And so, whether or not people like it, it's going to be a very slow transition to the new age. And I mean, it's going to come. And at the end of the day, people will still watch it, and maybe that will open up their minds a little bit. So, it's not going to be overnight, though.
Hopefully. The other piece of news I had, I know Pete has one as well. But Rock Band 4, PC failed to reach its crowdfunding goal.
Shocked.
There's no Rock Band 4 coming for PC.
No.
To be fair, that goal was pretty absurd in terms of.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, they wanted $1.5
million. $1.5
million.
That's a lot of money for something that no one cares about.
Right. For a game that people are used to playing on console too.
Right.
Yeah. Like, let's bring this to a new place, and everybody who was really excited about Rock Band 4 bought it on console.
Was it on Fig, or was it on...
Fig, yeah.
They basically said it was like a test to see if people wanted to see it like on PC, so they got their answer, you know?
Yeah.
But didn't they make it like halfway?
They did. They won $1.5 million. They made almost $800,000.
So, that's impressive, I mean, that tells me that there's someone out there wants this thing, right?
Sure.
I don't.
Yeah, isn't Rock Band VR still a thing though?
Yeah,
Homer Lucky's gonna be rocking his bare feet.
I wonder how that's gonna work.
Ugh. Let's make everything VR now. I hate VR.
Close-minded, Apo.
Yeah, let's see. Rock Band 4 launched on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One last October. Harmonix is currently working on virtual reality projects, including Rock Band VR for Oculus Rift and an app called Harmonix Music VR. They made a statement that said, there doesn't seem to be enough of an audience to make Rock Band for PC a viable project for us right now. I guess there's not. I mean, only 1,700 people backed it in the 35 days it was up on Fig. So I don't know. I said this back when we talked about it almost two years ago when Harmonix launched the Kickstarter for Amplitude, though. I thought it was weird that Harmonix was reaching out for crowdfunding at that point. They still haven't delivered the PS3, PS4 version of Amplitude yet. Like, it's only out on Vita right now, so I don't know. Do you think maybe that had a little bit of an effect on it too? Like, they haven't delivered fully on
their other promises.
Yeah, their past, crowdfunding promises. So maybe people are like, I'm not supporting you yet on this. Right. You haven't really proven you could do one of these. But yeah, I don't think anybody here was going to get Rock Band on PC. So
no,
probably not.
I think most people were going to get it on console.
I did.
I did as well.
But I mean, like in terms of the grand scheme, like I don't actually think they count that as a very successful game, which is why they needed money in order.
No, I mean they sold less than Guitar Hero again. I don't think they've ever actually sold more than Guitar Hero. But they sold less than Guitar Hero again, and Guitar Hero did not do great. It did okay. It sold over 1 million copies, but
there were just layoffs at that studio too.
Which was that was already a small studio.
Yeah.
So
I would be surprised if by the end of the year, Harmonix is shuttered.
It wouldn't surprise me. Although, keep that the Rock Band stuff up so I don't lose all of it.
Yeah, right.
It's a lot of DLC invested in that.
And the funny thing is, I guess that'll be like when that happens, it'll be one of those like moments where the fate of the digital age is decided in a weird way of like, all right, well, this company that had like all this stuff that depended on online material goes under. Do we get to keep all that stuff? Is it for redownloading? Does it go to a holding company where you can still purchase DLC? Like,
I don't think you're gonna like the fate of that age because I think you're fucked.
Yeah, no, I think. At least in Harmonix.
Pete, you had a piece of news, though.
Yeah, real quick, I'll just mention this. Last week I said I was going to Missouri, in St. Louis.
You did go to Seattle, right?
St. Louis.
Yes, not Seattle.
I wish I could.
One of those S cities. Shit town, yeah.
Missouri, Washington, they're the same, aren't they?
As this like big at their big like gaming convention and stuff, it was super dumb. Capcom was there and they had some stuff and that was okay. They held like a Street Fighter tournament, like an actual Street Fighter tournament, like $3,000 for first prize, and stuff. And then Namco was there. They had Dark Souls, but they had like the TGS build from like 6 months ago. Which felt a little weird, and that was okay, but otherwise it was it. Like, the gaming section was almost so empty most of the time, it was embarrassing. So, that was not what I had hoped it to be. But, only mentioning that because I said I would update last week. No, my piece of news was just that, I guess the major and only remaining vanilla WoW server is officially getting shut down later this month. They were finally hit with a cease and desist by Blizzard Activision.
This is the original WoW with no DLC or anything?
Yeah, this is basically, this was like a homegrown server that has been up there since, I guess, the beginning of the game for 10 years or so. And where people could just play vanilla WoW for free whenever they wanted.
So that's where the issue lies, right? Like
for free. Well, that they're you know, there's probably like illegal use of Blizzard's code and all sorts of things,
right? Because they're running it on their own server.
I mean, I don't know why you let it go for 10 years and then suddenly decide to shut it down. But
so maybe because WoW is dropping more and more all the time.
Maybe, but I don't think doing that is going to force people who only want to play vanilla WoW to go play WoW nowadays. Like, they wouldn't even recognize it. It would be playing a completely different game at that point. I mean, it's been 12 years since that server was put into place, so I don't know if this has something to do with the fact that this is the 25th anniversary of Blizzard's founding, and they're doing something special later on for that sort of thing. I have no idea. It's also the 10th year of BlizzCon, so there's like a whole bunch of anniversaries all landing in this year, so I know they've lately been trying to like remaster old games. I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to remaster vanilla WoW for people to play all of a sudden. That would be really weird. Blizzard's usually cool about these things, right? As long as it isn't like letting people cheat or things like that. So it's a little sad in terms of like game preservation, but otherwise, you know, it's strange that they have all people. Let's see. I want to just make sure I'm getting all the details here. Oops. Yeah, it'll go dark 2 days from now, April 10th. So
no.
That'll be Sunday. And, yeah. So basically, yeah, that they said that they would take legal action against them.
Yeah, they're taking them to court on the 11th if it wasn't shut down, right? It was the 11th or 12th. I think that's what I read.
It was basically like a time capsule type thing, you know, take words from the article right. itself. But yeah, I guess they said what it emulates the original World of Warcraft as closely as possible. The key difference being its ability to support around 11,000 concurrent players. So it's almost like an EVE server in that way. So, you know, it's not like instance and stuff. It's, you know, it can hold like a shit ton of players. So, yeah. That's sad. And it's kind of a bummer that that's happened. And a little weird, you know. Like I said, it's been up there. How long did it say it's been up there for?
10 years, I think.
Yeah.
How many players play on the server?
I don't know. I don't know. It just says that it's, I'm guessing that 11,000 number comes probably from the amount of players that were there.
Yeah, I think I read that it had about 10,000 people playing on it.
Wow.
Not all at once, but, that were utilizing that server over time.
Yeah. So yeah, I think there was, you know. Either oh, some players
that was at its peak. At its peak, over 10,000 players were actively using the server.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shame for those people, I guess.
Yeah, just in terms of preservation, like, it'd be kind of cool if you just, like...
Yeah, there's no way to actually experience the original WoW anymore, like, outside of doing things like that. It's a weird thing with these online games, like how preservation of them works. Like, how do you go back and revisit some of that stuff?
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, this is a light news week overall.
Yeah. Jeff, you need to create a video game museum so that we can go visit these old games.
I won't allow any of those games into it.
Sorry?
Come on, The Matrix Online.
Any of these online games, that just goes to show they're just dust in the wind.
God, I don't know if you could say WoW was dust in the wind.
At the end of the day.
God damn it, Jeff.
All right.
On that note.
Yep. On that note, I guess we'll be back next week with Ratchet and Clank and I guess Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls
3. Uh-huh.
Really?
No, we're not allowed to talk about that. It's legally ordered. I'm getting a restraining order against Jeff.
Maybe I'll talk about Ratchet and Clank the whole time, because I might just go into that first as a little, like, palate cleanser, you know?
Should.
Yeah, it'd be great. Like, it'd be such a different taste than Dark Souls.
Your palate needs some cleansing, let me tell you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I need something clean in my mouth.
Sorry?
Listerine or something.
Yeah, next week is episode 299, so we're two away from doing our 300th episode, where we are going to each kind of reveal our top 10 games of all time.
Made my list. Did my homework.
I need to do mine.
I'm Jeff's top 10 game of all time.
There is a lot of Nintendo in there, and there's no Tony.
God
damn it.
Lots of Nintendo. A lot of it.
Oh, somebody had to, right?
Oh, somebody.
Sure, because there won't be any Nintendo games on my list.
There. Yeah, I guess there'll be a couple on mine, but none of the obvious ones.
I have no Xbox or PlayStation like exclusive games. I have games that appeared on both, but I don't have any exclusives in my top 10.
Coward.
No, I'm right.
Fair enough.
So you could have the original Halo in there then.
Well, that's the only one I figured that you guys might put on your list, but like I don't know. Like other than that, I don't know. It's all Nintendo. Mario, Zelda, Metroid, there you go. That's 1/3 of it right there.
All right, Jeff.
Whatever you say, bub.
I mean I'm actually I kind of figured yours was going to be Nintendo heavy. I'm actually really interested to see what's on Don's list.
Is Don going to make an appearance?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Is it just going to be the Division in all 10 slots?
Destiny at number 9.
Is he really into the Division?
I don't think he likes it a lot.
I don't think he thinks it's great.
Yeah, he's just like, well,
that has to be so like soul crushing for him, because like the only thing I really know about Don in the only couple episodes that we've been on together is that he was championing that game like it was going to be a revolution.
So I mean, he was hoping it would be the next Destiny for him, which I mean, he's played a lot of Destiny, so.
That was his first mistake.
I am still only level like 10 in the Division, so that tells you all you need to know, I think.
I'm 22 now.
Might be my biggest disappointment of the year, and I wish I didn't spend $60 on it.
Also, real quick, everybody should buy Empires of Eve, because that is an amazing book.
What is it?
Empires of Eve. I should write something.
I was reading an excerpt.
It's so today. Good. It has the Game of Thrones effect of there being too many names in like the beginning and the middle, but towards the end it really consolidates itself into like, okay, there are really only two people with a couple of allies for each.
So what is this? What is this book about?
It's basically
Eve Online, baby.
Well, it's the history of Eve Online from the creation of the game, or from beta. Sorry. From beta up through 2014, so the first few years of history. So, like, the Great War that you're hearing about going on right now is not covered in the book and things like that. It's all, like, the early stuff, and that it's fascinating. It's really fun and interesting, and it has one of those weird things that because it's a game, like, outside forces affect it in ways that, like, you wouldn't expect. So, like, a patch comes out, or there was even one thing where, like, EA had an MMO running that went belly up, and so all the players from that migrated to Eve because they were similar styles, and like that changed some things in the game, and so it's really fun.
Eve is such a wacky game.
Yeah, and that's what makes it unique, is that like, you know, you wouldn't be able to write a book like that about any other game.
So weird.
And stuff. So yeah, it's totally worth a read.
So Pete might have something up on the site about that. Right now, yeah, we have a piece on nostalgia up by Walt. I might have a Quantum Break review done by next week.
I need to write my Stardew Valley review too. That's okay. I'm gonna write two reviews for next podcast.
All right.
That's what I gotta do.
Yeah. I need to finish the review that I have half written.
Is that the expansion for the
Conclave? Yeah.
And then
if I liked the Conclave more, my review would be easier to write.
There's a hint.
Oh,
ringing endorsement.
I think we know where that's going. So there should be stuff up on the site next week. Should be. Check out Movie Dudes. We just reviewed Spotlight and Spy for next week. Currently, Batman vs Superman is up on the site. So,
oh yeah, Movie Dudes.
Yeah.
You bastard.
Accent.
You know, gotta plug it, man.
We use that. that is the ending of every show.
Oh, I was going to say, it's the opening jingle. Okay.
Oh, you got here.
It's jingle.
Yeah, well, we'll be back next week. And Fozzie, say goodnight.
Night.